Okay, so Lag BaOmer still in the air, but I wanted to start off a little bit of a Parshas Beharvor and try to maybe connect it a little bit, a little practical yisod about Lag BaOmer. See, a lot of Jews in America, something unfortunately that we don't really, it's very hard to connect to Lag BaOmer when you're not going to Meron and you don't see fires,
yeah.
Unless you're passing by BRS. Last night was a great fire here. But we're going to try to take a little practical message on Lag BaOmer. Here we go. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Ki gerim v'soshavim atem imadi." You're going to be, you'll be these the gerim, and you'll be the dwellers, and I will be with you. You will be with me. Excuse me. So if you look in the pasuk, the word imadi looks extremely superfluous. It means what? You'll be my gerim. You'll be my soshavim. You'll be my residence. You'll be with me. Why do you have to be? Why does it have to say you'll be with me? So if you look inside on page one, and this is just we're going to fly through the first page a little quick. The Bnei Yisachar raises this question. It says it seems the word imadi seems so extraneous. It seems so extra. Just say you'll be a dweller. You'll be a ger. But why is it you'll be with me? So he says an amazing thing. He says when the Jewish people. Right, the whole parsha talks about Eretz Yisrael, talks a little about Yovel, talks a little about living in the land, this and that. A lot of things connected to Eretz Yisrael. When the Jewish people, the Gemara says in Ksubis, he doesn't write this, but this is really what the Gemara says in Ksubis, someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, someone who lives with me, someone who has a God. That's what the Gemara Ksubis says. Hakol Adar Eretz Yisrael, someone who is considered someone who has a God, and someone who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is considered as that you don't have a God. Well, there's obviously a lot of things to be able to set on that, but the Bnei Yisachar wants to say that might not be so true. We'll get inside over here in the middle of the page. Shekasher Bnei Yisrael Yoshim Beretz Kedosha says the Bnei Yisachar when the Jewish people are living in the Holy Land, Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Toshev Ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is with you if he's going to be with you there. V'ilu kasha yisrael mitzuyim begalas bein ha'amim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says if you're going to be outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be living within the non-Jewish people, Hashem says, Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kevayocho nimseim ha'megalas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm still going to be with you. Whether you're a ger, or whether you're a Toshav, right? Toshav means, you live in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Ger is someone, you're a stranger, you're living outside of the land. So what does Bnei Yisachar say? Ki ger v'soshavim. If you're going to be a ger, you're going to be a soshavim, atem, just know imadi. I'm always going to be with you. Right, as then, and this is a famous Zohar, the Kadosh Baruch, the Rash, Shimon Bar Yochai, who's Yartzeit today. We were trying to connect to his neshama. And it's even brought down by Holy Sfarim, that even if you quote things from someone's name, it's like you're at their kever. Not only is if the Gemara says that their lips are moving in the kever when you say so dvar b'kever, right? But the Sefer Mori Naim what says, I saw this last night, it almost blew my mind. It says that you're actually at the kever when you say something in his name. So we're going to Meron right now.
Okay.
But Shimon Baruch Chai said the following thing. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, wherever you go, I'm going to be. If you go into Galus, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go with you. If you're going to be, you're outside the base of Minish, I'm always going to be with you. Shem Baruch Hu wanted to be able to make a certain message that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be with you. And this is a famous, actual Gemara also. I was actually looking, tried to look up this Gemara, couldn't find it. But maybe it's in Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure, maybe you can tell me. There's a famous Gemara, the Machlokas between Rosh Hashanah and Baruch Hu. And I'm not sure, maybe Rabbi Lazar. Machlokas is when are the Jewish people considered Hashem's children? Are they considered Hashem's children when they're doing Ritzon HaShem Malkum? Or are they considered Kadosh Baruch Hu's children even if they're not doing the Ratzon? So the other Tana says, only when they're doing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, when they're doing Hashem's will, are they considered Banim. Shem Baruch Hu says no. Bein Kach, Bein Kach, whether they're doing Hashem's Ratzon, whether they're living in Eretz Yisrael or not, or even if you're living outside Israel, right? I'm not going to say that living outside is not against Kadosh Baruch Hu's will, but I just wanted to be able to see that Shimon Bar Yochai is the broad perspective. He sees the whole Jew. He sees the whole experience. He says, at the end of the day, a Jew is a Jew. Sometimes we're going to fall. Sometimes we're going to fall. At the end of the day, to really realize, imadi says Bnei Yisachar. Whether you're a ger, whether you're a sosha, whether you're living in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're living in Chutzlart, or maybe we could say, whether you're doing the right thing, whether you're doing the wrong thing, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ben kach, nikra banan. Hashem says I'm still with you. Imo anochi b'tzara. Hashem says I go into Golus with you. So I thought that would be a very apropos message about the start of the year. Continue on page two. Page two is one of my favorite svarim. It's a sefer we haven't quoted from before, but it's a sefer from Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal. Rav Avadya Yosef, the leading chief rabbi of Sephardic brothers, and he has a sefer called Anaf Eitz Avos or Anaf Eitz Avot for our Sephardic brethren on Pirkei Avot. And the Pirkei Avot shir, supposedly my friend Rabbi Yosef Kusola told me, He used to give the shir on Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbat, he always gave the Pirkei Avos shir.
It's a play on the word Enaf Eitzavos.
Exactly. Lulav, right? Exactly. By Lulav, exactly. So he brings down a medrash, considering we're talking a little bit about Rav Shimon Rechai. I saw this medrash two times. Sometimes when you see things twice, at least for me, I always say that's a message from Hashem. Maybe it's something worthwhile to be said over. So the medrash says like this. It's a medrash found in Shir Shirim Rabba, Perek Aleph. Ma'isa b'isha achas b'tzaydan, she'shasa eser shonim imbala v'lo yalda. The medrash starts off, there was a woman who was married for 10 years with her husband. She couldn't have children. Bo Eitzel Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Ben Yochai. They come to Rashbi, right? It's Lag Ba'omer, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Yortzai, we're trying to connect to his message. They come to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with the following request. Rebbe, we want to get divorced. We want to separate. We're not able to have a child. There's certain halachos in unfortunately, someone's not able to have a child. A certain amount of time, we want to get a divorce. And listen to what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Eitzel, his advice back to them is. Omer lahem, chayeichem, by your life. Kishem shenizvagusam zeluzu b'mayichlu mishta. Just like you got married in the famous hall and you got wine, you had wine and you had sushi and you had chicken soup and you had food and you had dessert and you had the Viennese table. Kach enatim nefradim ela mitoch mayichlu mishta. Now, the same way you got married with food and wine, I want you to get divorced with food and wine. Very interesting word of advice. You know, sometimes a rabbi says, oh, let's talk, this, that. I want you to go get, you know what? I want you to go to Butcher's Block. I want you to go to Prime Grill. Talk it over. Eat a little bit. And then get divorced. A very interesting piece of advice from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Listen to what happens. Incredible thing. They listened to his voice and they made a little bit of a yontif. They made a great, great feast. What happened was, the Medrash says, that the husband had a little bit too much alcohol for his... Maybe he was very happy living. I'm not sure. Maybe he was ecstatic. Chas v'shalom. Just a little lagvay melikol simcha. Amalah, he said to her, "Bitip, such beautiful words." He said, "My daughter, my wife. Kol chavetz tov sheyishli bebeis tli oso the lechi lebeis avicha." I just want to let you know. I don't know what's going on right now, but I just want to tell you. Anything you want from my house, any possession, any money, I want you to take it to your father's house. You must be really drunk, right? Take whatever you want, take it to your father's house. Ma'asahi, what did she do? Right, if I were her, I'd probably, you know, throw this guy in the closet and take his all his possessions and say all the best. La'acher, what did she do? La'acher sheyashon, ramzo la'avdeho lifshchoseo. She waited for him to fall asleep, and she told her servants, I want you to take my husband, take his bed, I want you to carry him out on his mattress, bring him to my father's house. Unbelievable. In the middle of the night, when he got he got up from his alcoholism, he got up from his wine. Amrullah, he told her, Piti, where did you place me? Amrullah, she said to him, the base of Abba, I brought you to my father's house. Amrullah, Mali the base of Icha, what do I have to do in your father's house? Amrullah, the lo kacha marta li ba'erev, kochavitz tov sheyesh to be basi. Didn't you tell me whatever I could take from your house I could take? Yeah. I want you, says the wife. I want you. I don't want your money. I don't want your possessions. I don't want your iPads. I don't want your Mercedes. I don't want your cars. I want you. And now, you told me I could bring you to my father's house. Ein chafetz tov li ba'olam yosur mimcha. There's nothing greater in my eyes than you. They go to Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, and they told him the following what happened. This is what happened. The Medrash ends off. The Omar, he got up, v'hispalo aleihem v'nifkidu. He got up and davened, and the woman was zochet to have a child. Medrash says how just the same way the couple came to Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai and they davened for him, because all they wanted to do was a child. The same way we have to come to Kodesh Baruch Hu and realize, tell him that he's the only thing that we want in our life. But I want to go a little deeper. Why is it Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai didn't daven as soon as they came? He gave them this little etza, go get, have a meal, go have this, go have that. If he had the ability to daven for them, why didn't he just daven for them in the beginning? What changed? Exactly. So what changed from the beginning to the end? So I'll be honest with you. I didn't see this inside, but it was something that I thought of. Maybe I did see from other people. But what I thought was the following. The Gemara says, I believe in Bava Metzia, that if you want something and your friend wants something, you have to down. If you down for your friend, Hashem will bless you that you'll be able to get that thing too. Why? The deeper pshat is that If someone really cares about someone else, there's a certain sense of love and achdus that shows the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you not only care about yourself, you care about for someone else. That's why I went to an amazing story in the Sefer called Praying with Fire. I think we have it here. It's a great Sefer, an English Sefer. It has great stories about tefillah. It helped my tefillah tremendously. I actually have to review it. It says a story that there was two women who weren't able to have a child. And after a couple of years, they both got married, and they weren't able to have a child. They decided to swap names. Swap names. You down for me, I'll learn for you. What happened was, not only did they have a child, each have a child, but they had a child on the same day in the same hospital. You can't make these things up. So why is it, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Why is it that he waited for them specifically when they came back the following time? But he said last week, and I want to say it again. Medrash says in Kohelas Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva's famous statement to his students were, "Harishonim lomeisu," his new students, "Harishonim lomeisu elam nesha haisa inam tsar b'torah zelazat." You know why my first students died? Because they didn't care for each other. They kept the Torah for themselves. Atem lo tiyu kein. I don't want you to be that like these people. Miyad omdu malaku eretz yisrael b'torah. They got up. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got up. The four other students got up. And they spread Torah to the rest. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if you look at the Zohar, he writes this all over. He writes three words. B'chavivusa talya milsa. B'chavivuta talya milta. The whole thing, everything depends on one thing. Depends on love. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to make sure. Before you guys get divorced, he's talking to the husband and wife. I want you to make sure that there's not a little bit of love left. Because if there's a little bit of love left, there's a little bit of care, I'm going to be able to do something. But first, I need you to do something. You have to show yourselves to be able to take that love, to take that sensitivity that Rabbi Shimon Yerubi Achari learned from his Rabbi. He learned from Rabbi Akiva, who lost the 24,000 students because they didn't love each other. He specifically said, "I want you to see if what you're going to do." And when they came back and they told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, "Hey, I just want to let you know, my wife could have taken anything. She could have left me in the dumpster. She could have taken all my money. You know what she did? She specifically said, I only want you." A certain sense of dedication, of loyalty, of achdus, of love. Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Hey, now I could down for you." When a person cares for someone else, then everything is boundless. There's a famous story that I saw last week of Dessler. Rav Dessler was a huge, huge gadol, and what he decided was that there's two shiurim when it comes to making kiddush. There's the Rav Chaim Noa shiur, a smaller amount of shiur that you have to drink from kiddush. And there's a bigger share of the Chazon Ish. What happened was, is that his entire life, he made sure he had the smaller share. Only once his Rebbetzin passed away, did he start being makbid for the larger share. So they asked him, after his Rebbetzin passed away, "Rebbe, with all due respect, like, why after did your wife change, did you change your minhag that you need to have more kiddush on Friday night and Shabbos?" And like, what changed? Listen what he said. Avdelser said it had nothing to do with really the volume inside, but it happened to do with the kos. The kos that I used before when my wife passed away, excuse me, when my wife was alive, was a gift from her father. And I always thought that it'll be a tremendous thing for me to be able to use such a covered thing for him, for her, to show that this cup means a lot to me. So much so, even if I'm makbid for the Chazon Ish's Kiddush volume, for his Kiddush Shashita, the real Hiddur Mitzvah, the real beautification of the Mitzvah is to be able to make my wife happy. Right? Sometimes the Hiddur Mitzvah, the beautification of the Mitzvah, is by not doing the Mitzvah. Is by realizing there's something a little deeper. There's something a little more. If you go to page 3, just to be able to say two more ideas on this episode. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't just learn this from himself. He learned this from Rabbi Akiva. The last Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, everyone knows this because it's a famous song. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem metarim. Who do you go purify yourselves in front of? Umi metar eschem. And who purifies you? Avichem Shabbat Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies you. So Rav Moshe Wolfson, this sefer is called Sion V'Areha. He's a big, big rabbi in Brooklyn. He's the mashgiach in the yeshiva called Torah Vedas. I actually just met him in Miami Beach. He was here in January. He comes like 6-7 weeks every January, and he just comes like get away a little bit. Come like, you know, January is a good time. It's snowing. It's cold. His name's Rav Moshe Wolfson. Very possible. Maybe not this year, but in January was Rav Asher Weiss, but maybe in the past year it's very, very possible. He comes down every January. So he says in amazing things. He says Rabbi Akiva, he specifically lived his life with this level of achdus. Not only achdus with Jews, but also achdus with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara says in Brachas, what was the last word that Rabbi Akiva said before he was killed? He said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akiva Hashem Echad. Rabbi Akiva lived his life with the level of Echad. If you go down three lines here, he says, what is this phrase, Umi Matar Eschem? It says a mikvah is something where there's something that gathers everything. A mikvah is something where there's unification. Umikvah Yisrael, you know what the mikvah of Klai Yisrael is? V'safasusam huash Hashem. The mikvah of Klai Yisrael is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu Yisparach Shemo Kolam Yachad Be'achdus. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Echad of Klai Yisrael, right? The Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Hashem, Torah, and Klai Yisrael are all one. It means when we learn Torah, we're actually talking to Hashem, right? Everyone says, oh, I never talk to Hashem. I talk to Hashem when I daven. But when does Hashem talk to me? Hashem talks to me when I learn Torah. That's Hashem talking to me. But we're all one. So says Rav Moshe Wilson, when you want to know why Rabbi Akiva's last breath, his last word was Echad, I'll tell you why. Nishmas Rabbi Akiva Yatsa B'Tevas Echad, Kizesh Shorash Nishmas. You know what? Want to know why the last word of Akiva was Echad? Bechinas Ata Echad, Shimcha Echad, Mika Amchizah Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Because we're all one. Kadosh Baruch Hu's one, Klai Yisrael's one, the Torah's one. We're all one. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is the famous one who says, V'Hatel Yerecha Kamocha. Omer Rabbi Akiva is the Klal God of the Torah. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva understands this message. He understood after his 24,000 students died that there's nothing more important in the world than caring for each other. And when you care for each other, you care for Kadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. As we said last week, when you care for each other's achdus, you care for Kadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. Because as we said just from 5, 10 seconds away from the Zohar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael, Torah, Chatu, we're all one. The Zohar says this. The Zohar, again, Rashbi. The more we say things from Rashbi, the more we actually go to Meron. My friend actually called me from Meron. If you ever want to see an incredible sight, go to Meron for a Lag BaOmer. I was there once. It was unbelievable. You could barely move at the Tzion, and outside it's mamish unbelievable. They once asked the original, I don't know, just parenthetically, the original Rebbe, I don't believe he was ever zochah to be in Meron. But he asked one of his students who was able to go there, what's it like? What's it like to be in Meron by Rashbi? Something we don't celebrate anyone else's yahrzeit like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, a lot of other rabbis. Okay, Lubavitch Rebbe, maybe a lot of Jews go to New York for the Rashbi. You know how many Jews are there? People who have kippahs, people who don't have kippahs. Bardim, Chassidim. Yeah, so there's certain Rosh Yeshiva who don't know because it's so very very good. Rav Asher Weiss, someone, my Rebbe, Rav Ari Waxman. Ari Waxman just asked Rav Asher Weiss recently, should my students go to Meron? So he said some will benefit to go. And some will benefit not to not go. So it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. First you have to be a real trooper, and you have to really daven hard. Lamaisa, if you go there, the achdus there is unbelievable. There are Jews there. It's unbelievable. So how do we get here? Oh yeah, the Rishon. So that's the Rishon Rebbe asked the student, what's it like? He said, by the Tzion. Have you ever been there? It's a kever. It's like maybe it's like from here to there. It's not such a big place. By the Tzion, it's from Kippur. But outside, it's Simchas Torah. But see, there's a certain sense of yira, a certain sense of pachar, it's a fear. Outside, there's tremendous ava. When there's love, and when there's such tremendous achdus between Klal Yisrael, there could be yira inside. There could be achdus inside. There's achdus outside. There's everything. So he says over here, he wants to say an amazing thing. You want to know how we're going to have the shofar one day when Mashiach's going to come? Look at the gematria he says here. V'lachin. Omer Rabbi Akiva is that Klal God of Torah. I didn't even do the gematria outside, but I'm going to trust Rav Moshe Wilson. The words Omer Rabbi Akiva is that Klal God of Torah. Who be gematria? You talk of a shofar godo ubo haovadim. That refers to the shofar being blown by Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva's statement: Klal God of Torah. This is a great room of Torah. You want to know how to get to Mashiach? It's got to come with the Klal, with the Zek Klal God of Torah. It's got to come with the tremendous love. So sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's very very hard. Meet Jews, and sometimes Jews don't act as the way they're supposed to. I have a family member who always says the following statement: I hate that person. She did or he did this thing to me. So I always tell them, you don't hate them, you hate their actions. You hate the Nazis. You hate Hitler. Right? You hate Amalek. Right? You don't hate a Jew. You might hate their action. You don't hate them. Why is it? Why is it that you don't hate them? So Bishim Baruchai, as we started from the Shir, from the beginning of the Shir, we said, here the famous statement, b'kach nikra banim. But either the way, they're doing Ratzon Hashem, or they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, they're still called Hashem's children. Either way, right? Before we get to the last page from Rav Shor, just to be able to say this, a little more, that we're always Hashem's children. Rav Lazer Geldzahler, we said a couple of stories to them earlier in past month or two. A rabbi once went to Rav Geldzahler, and he was a tremendous, tremendous person. I highly encourage you, if you want to read a good biography, read the Sefer, the new biography called Rav Lazer Geldzahler. Rav Lazer the Chassid, something like that. Rabbi Yisrael Besser. So the story inside the thing, that a big rabbi once came to him, and he said, you know, the Baal Musar say that we're always in Hashem's hand. Sometimes we're in his right hand, sometimes we're in his left hand. Meaning sometimes we see Hashem's kindness, sometimes it's Hashem's gvura. So the Rabbi Geldzahler nodded to him, he said, you're 100% right, but you're mistaken in one thing. We're always in Hashem's right hand. Meaning when a parent punishes a child, when I tell my daughter, it's time, you know, it's time to go to bed, and she smacks me, and I put her in the corner, it's not because I hate her, it's not because I'm trying to get back at her, I'm trying to teach her a lesson. That's not what you do, right? It hasn't been really working out so well, because she doesn't like, I don't know, she doesn't like going to sleep, and Baruch Hashem, she lets me know very clearly, right? But maybe she's so emistic, she can't hold back her truthfulness, right? But Rabbi Geldzahler was trying to prove to the rabbi, you're missing what Rashbi said. Either way, whether doing Hashem's will or not, we're always in His right, right? How many of us, for our children, even when we had to punish them, there's something inside of us saying, wow, I love them so much. I'm always doing this to help them, right? That's what Rabbi Geldzahler is saying. It's always the right hand. So I think that even when something's going wrong in our lives with another Jew, and something's going wrong, we have to realize it's still my brother, it's still my sister. We're all part of one family. Go over here, Rav Shor, a couple of years ago, was literally coming out with Svarim like water. Like we drive a car, he was literally coming out with Svarim like water, and he came out with a Sefer on Lag BaOmer. So he quotes this piece called Ko Yisrael B'nei Malachim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also not only says, it's so sad that I'm sorry that I don't have the exact source for it, but he says that the Klai Yisrael are all kings. Not only are we all children, but also we're all kings, right?
Because he said certain people are allowed to shmir oil on Shabbos, right? So the B'nai Malachim are allowed to do it. So he says, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim. This is a halacha.
Yeah, what's the halacha? Where's the halacha brought down? I'm so sad. I wish he wrote it over here. Right. What it comes up? It comes up where?
Right. Like shmearing a certain oil or something.
Shmearing oil.
Only malachim are allowed to do it because for them it's.
Interesting. Only malachim are allowed.
Only b'nei malachim.
Shimon says no. Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim. We're all kings. So he says a little bit of panemius. This is over here on the bottom of the page. He says lag. We're just gonna read it just to translate over here. He says lag b'omer is the yartzeh b'shem baruch hai, where every Jew is able to feel that you're a king, that you're the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tremendous joy. Everyone wants to say, by the way, everyone asks the question, why is it that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has thousands of Jews go to this kever? And when it comes to other rabbis' yard sites, other Tanaim in the Gemara's yard, no one's really going. Because this is the exact message that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was trying to prove to us. That every Jew is a king, every Jew is a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that like a mushal, there's a villager who's in filth. He's sitting in a dumpster, sitting in a garbage. There are people who come over and tell him, what are you doing here? This isn't your place. You're a son of God. Right? The guy, just imagine someone living as a pauper for 20 years, and they're looking for this guy for a long time, and the king's assistant guy tries and says, what are you doing? You're the son of what amazing joy a person's gonna have when he says, wow, I'm the king. Because that's what I'm a ben melech, I'm a bas melech, I'm the daughter of the king, I'm the son of a king. That's what Rosh Hashanah, his whole message, his whole entire life, was able to prove to Klai Yisrael that the Jewish people are not like anyone else. The Jewish people are your one family. You're the son and you're the daughter of the king. Even when someone harms you, someone does something bad, no, it's not them, it's their actions that are turning you. But still, at the end of the day, their root of their source, you're still one family. So let's just wrap up. Started this year from the B'nai Yisrael. The B'nai Yisrael said, what? The B'nai says, Gigeir v'tosham atem imadi. Whether you're a ger, whether you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, a soshav, whether you're living in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, imadi, you're always going to be with me. I'm always going to be with you. Then we saw the amazing medrash of Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai told the couple, I want the same way you got married with food and wine, I want you to get divorced with food and wine. We said, why? What's pshat? Why did he do that? Because Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to be able to see if there's a little bit of love, a little bit of ava left there, I want to make sure that it's there. What happened was, that the husband said, take whatever you want. And she said, No, no, no. I don't want any of your possessions. All I want is you. Shem Baruch Hai saw this Ava. He saw this love. He saw the love he learned from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Then he said, I'm going to die if you're able to have a child. Finally, we saw a tremendous lesson. Where did Rabbi Akiva, where did Rabbi Shimon learn this from? He learned this from his Rebbe, from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva who told the students, don't be like my first students who didn't share the Torah with each other, as the Medrash called as Rabbah. Share Torah with each other. Go spread Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva is the one who died with this oneness, not only the oneness of Klal Yisrael, but the oneness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Able to realize that we're all one. Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, Chad, we're all one. And that's the end of the day. What does it mean? Not only we're all one, but Klal Yisrael, B'nai Malachim, we're all kings, we're all children of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So B'ez Hashem, we should be Zocher. Now going in from the Lag B'Omer, up until Matan Torah, we should be Zocher to feel this love for each other, we should be Zocher to feel the tremendous connection we have to each other, and obviously, just as important, be able to realize the connection we have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because a Ben Melech, a Bas Melech, has every right to be able to go straight to the king is our father. We have an unbelievable privilege to be able to be the son, to be the daughter of the king. We should be Zocher, Bez Hashem, to take this. Have a beautiful Shabbos. Have a good Yom Tov.